Tonight we're starting what's going to be a summer-long series through the book of James. And as we kind of prepare to dive into the first part, I'll read it here in a minute. But before we read it, I want you to watch. I've got two video clips that I'm going to play. They're both a couple minutes long from a movie you recognize. And after the clips, I'll come up and I'll share some more. So you'll recognize these as soon as they come up, hopefully. So here they go. How many of you guys recognize that ugly-looking guy up on the screen? Okay, that's, I'm just going to briefly tell you who that is if you don't know. It's a guy whose name is, well, it depends on which part of the story, but Sméagol or Gollum from Lord of the Rings. And both these clips are out of the second of the three stories, movies, whatever. This is the Two Towers, the second story. And I want to talk in a few minutes about Gollum, but let me read to you first. I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 18 of James. I'm not always going to read the whole passage every week, but this all really kind of sets the stage for tonight and for the rest of our time together. He says, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about. God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession." As you think about the video clips you just watched and think about this character of Gollum, if you're not familiar with kind of the backstory, at one point Gollum was the one that had the ring, the very famous ring that's kind of the center of all the story that's going on. And he had it, and then Bilbo Baggins got the ring, and now you've got these guys, these two hobbits that are trying to deliver the ring, and that's kind of what this whole story is centered around. But there's this character, and he's obsessed with this ring, this my precious, he calls it. And you see lived out loud this struggle between these two parts of him, this part that's like, no, the master's taking care of us and we need to be good, and this other part that's like, no, let's kill him so we can have the ring. And so the reality is that I think all of us probably, maybe not to this extent or this weirdly, have these kind of conversations with ourselves. And the reality is that all of us probably have rings in our lives. And the temptation isn't the ring. It's not this gold band with letters around it. But it's the power that comes with it that is so intoxicating, that is so tempting, that causes this creature to wrestle between good and evil, to wrestle between doing what is right and between doing what is wrong, and that wrestle between them. And it's interesting as I think about the first words that James pens in his letter, these words we're looking at tonight that I just read to you, that I thought about it, and almost every, if not every, temptation really comes down to one of three things when you generalize it. And I happen to have them all start with P because preachers have to do those kind of things, but it actually fit really well. One is power. It's exactly what is going on in this story, I believe, that a lot of times temptation is because we want power. We want to control people. We want to control things. We want to have control. And so one of the greatest temptations that shows up in a lot of different ways in our lives is power. The second one is pride. It's about wanting to be the center of attention. It's about wanting everybody to look at you and say, look at that person. Look how great they are. That we want, you know, we want that praise, that we have pride that consumes us, that tempts us sometimes to do things that we ought not do. And the last one is possessions. And if there's anywhere that that's true, it's in this country and in this area of the country especially. But a lot of times we're tempted to have possessions, whether it's, you know, where we live, what we drive, what we own, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of phone we have. You know, I kind of tongue-in-cheek wanted to show that little iPhone deal at the front end because the new iPhone just got announced on Monday. And, you know, there's so many things that we want to have. There's stuff that we desire. It's such a temptation for us. And so the reality is, as you think about pride and you think about power and you think about possessions, all of us, probably on a daily basis, have similar conversations inside our head that he has. You know, it could be that we're trying to decide, you know, maybe we're in a store and we see something that we really want and we wrestle in our head, should I take that and should I stick it in my pocket and walk out the door, or should I walk away and leave it? Or maybe we're at school and we're like, okay, I really want an A in this class, and so my pride starts to take over. And so I'm like, do I do what I should do and just take the test the way I studied, or do I do something to try to help my grade that would be considered cheating? Or do we take advantage of people to have power? We are constantly tempted by things that cause us to do different. Now, what's interesting is I hear people say things all the time. They say things like, you know, God has a purpose for everything. I'm not sure why God did this, but we need to figure it out. Or it's God's will. And I would argue with that a little bit. And, you know, as we think about why do things happen? I think that sometimes God doesn't make things happen. And I want to help shift your thinking, because I hear people say that all the time. Well, you know, this little 5-year-old died, and that was God's will. Well, no, I don't think it was. But we wrestle with that. We wrestle with, you know, what is God's will? And so, you know, there's a purpose for everything. And that really ties into temptation, because one of the things James says at the front is that God never tempts us. And if we buy into that philosophy that things, everything happens because it's God's will, then if you're going to be consistent, then you would say we're tempted because it's God's will that we're tempted. And I would say that's not true. I would say that God allows things to happen. Like, look at the story of Job, if you're not familiar with that story. In chapters 1 and 2 of Job, we get kind of this glimpse of heaven. The story, the Job author pulls back the curtains, and we see Satan going before God, and he says, you know, here's Job, and God and the devil have this conversation. You know, well, sure, Job is great, because you give him everything he wants. The devil says, let me do something to him and see if he remains faithful. And God grants the devil the freedom to do horrible things to Job, to kill his family, to destroy just about everything he owns. And that's kind of the beginning of the unfolding of the story. So God allows things to happen. He allows free will. But here's the thing. God doesn't initiate temptation. God doesn't put sin in our lives. But God seeks to redeem sin when we do things wrong. And so God's will, and this is huge, if you remember nothing else from tonight, God's will is not what happens to us necessarily. God's will is how we react to what happens to us. Because each of us have the choice, the freedom to decide how to react to what happens. We can be tempted by our circumstances, or we can choose what would be in line with God's will and the decisions that we make. And so God is in control, but He's not controlling every little thing. Anybody know what this is? Raise your hand if you know what this is. This is a Scantron. For those of you that are juniors or seniors, you may recognize this is the ACT. Yes, not a very pleasant thing. Yeah. Here's the deal. And this is what I want us to think about. As James begins his letter and he's talking about temptation, sometimes I think we can think of temptation as if we think that God places temptation in front of us, which is contrary to what James writes, we can think that temptation is kind of like God placing an ACT in front of us, and he's going to see what letter we're going to color in for each one. Okay, I'm going to drop, guys, I'm going to drop this really beautiful young woman in front of you to see whether you choose to look away or whether you choose to look at her lustfully. Or I'm going to drop, an opportunity where nobody's looking, where you could steal something, and I'm going to look and see, I'm going to put that there and see what you do. And that totally doesn't line up with what James says. It doesn't line up with what I think God is saying. So it's not that God is necessarily tempting us, but it's that we have this kind of going on in our lives. And so here's the thing with temptation. That temptation results when our will doesn't line up with God's will. You know, as James says, and we're going to go ahead and look at the passage here, verses 5 through 8, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. And so here's really the point James is making. If you're going to be prepared for temptation, number one, ask God for wisdom. He's generous. He's going to give it to you. He's not going to rebuke you for asking. He's not going to say, why'd you ask for wisdom? The wisest man ever to live, according to the words of the Bible, is Solomon. Solomon, God said, whatever you want, you can have it. Ask me. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God blessed him for that. Being from God, that God grants us this wisdom. And so here's the point. And different translations say this different way. I love the way the New Living Translation here says it. And by the way, throughout the summer, there's 100 Bibles over there in that bookshelf. If you don't have a Bible with you and you want to grab one at some point, those are for you to borrow. If you don't own a Bible, take one. Those are for you. So if you're here, whether you're a member here or you're a visitor, if you don't own a Bible, or the only one you have you can't understand because it's hard for you to understand some of the language, those are for you guys to borrow or to take if you need it. Kind of on the honor system. So this is kind of a side note. But I love the way the New Living Translation deals with it. It says a person with divided loyalty. That we need to focus on, when we ask God for wisdom, that's the wisdom we need to listen to. Not any other wisdom, but God's wisdom. And then he goes on a little further. You know, so it starts by listening to the right voice, to listening to the voice of God. And then he goes on a little further and he says, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises, the grass withers, the little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. Here's the point. If we want to grasp God's wisdom, we need to realize what's really important and what's not. What you achieve in this world, worldly achievements, the money you make, the honor you get, all those things, they're good. They're not evil. But they're really not what's most important because they're going to fade away. In the end, it's not going to matter where you live, what kind of house you had, what kind of grades you got. Now, and don't hear me saying that means you to slack. Because God wants you to do your best. God wants you to put everything you have into everything you do. But not for the purpose of getting something for you to have power or to have pride or have possession. But to use that to better other people and to help other people. So don't hear me saying you shouldn't do your best. You absolutely should. But at the same time, don't put all of your trust in those things that are only temporary. And then the last thing he says is this in this little passage. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life, the thing that really matters, that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. And then hold on to these last couple sentences, because these will destroy or save your life. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Ultimately, once we get God's wisdom, once we realize what's important, it comes down to our choices. It comes down to what we decide, because it's absolutely, think about it in your life, things where you've made a really bad decision, when you've done something that you know is wrong, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have ever made a decision and all of a sudden you stop and you go, how in the world did I get here? This is how you got there. It started right here. It started with a desire that wasn't in line with the will of God. It was just a desire. And you thought, you know what? It's just a desire. I'm just looking. I'm just thinking. I haven't done anything. But those seeds plant. And as they're planted, they entice us. They begin to drag us away from God's will. And as that happens, they begin to give birth to sinful actions. And one day, you make a decision. You're like, whoa, what happened? And if you do that long enough, and if that's allowed to grow in your life, and those decisions keep happening, then it gives birth to death. And that could be physical death, that could be emotional death, that could be spiritual death. I know people that have walked away from God, have walked away from the kingdom of God, and this is how they got there. It wasn't like they woke up one day and said, God, I'm done with you. It's that they woke up one day and they had desires that weren't in line with God's will, and they weren't listening to God's wisdom, so they began to take actions as they were dragged away from God. And as they took actions, those began to grow in their lives, and one day they woke up and they said, I'm done. And so you might be sitting here tonight and you might be thinking things are pretty good right now. But if you've got, and let's admit it, we're all human. All of us are at least here. All of us have desires that are contrary to God's will. Whether it's power, whether it's pride, whether it's possessions, we all have desires that aren't in line with God's will. And the battle starts there. It doesn't start all the way down here. It starts back here before the devil can get a foothold in our lives. And so we wrestle with this question that I asked a few minutes ago. I kind of hinted at, is why? This is probably the most frequently asked question. As you think about things that get us to where we're at, why did that happen? Why did somebody make that decision? Bigger the questions than that, why am I here? Because as we start to wrestle, or as we continue to wrestle with our will and God's will, you know, we begin to ask ourselves, well, why am I here? What's the purpose of life? And ultimately, I think when we ask ourselves that question, it comes down to the last couple of verses that are in the scripture we've talked about, that we're talking about tonight. So don't be misled, dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And then the last sentence, and if you ever ask yourself the question, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? What is this all about? As you're struggling with temptations about power and pride and possessions and everything else in the world, it comes down to this. And we, you and me, human beings created in the image of God, we, out of all creation, higher than the other animals, higher than the plants, higher than the earth, higher than everything else in the universe that God made. You and me, we, out of all creation, became His, God's, prized possession. That when God looks at all that He made, if you look back at the creation story, day one, God said it was good. Day two, it was good. Day three, it was good. Four, it was good. Five, it was good. Day six, it was very good. You, in the midst of your messy life, in the midst of temptations and trials and difficulties, still, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what choices you've made, you are God's prized possession. His wisdom is good and perfect. You know, as I think about that, you know, I think about we wrestle with these things. But temptation, ultimately, is believing that something else is better. When God says, you're my prized possession, we begin to take our eyes off of God and on other things, and we're tempted to look at other things and be dragged away from God. If you don't believe me, and parents in the back totally will understand this, even we as parents watch you guys, our children, make decisions that we know are wrong, and God does that too. Sometimes your parents step in and they stop you. And sometimes you throw a fit about it. Matter of fact, most of the time you throw a fit about it. But parents step in sometimes. There are times your parents see where you're going, they know exactly what's going to happen, and they let you do it. Because sometimes you just need to learn by making your own mistakes. It starts when they're two. When you were a little baby and you were crawling, and then one day you found a table and you pulled yourself up and you got ready to walk. Probably every parent in this room remembers watching and saying, I know what's going to happen. One step and poof, sure enough, you fall. You get up again. Your parents watch you. They know what's going to happen. You fall. But eventually you begin to learn to walk. And that is the biggest challenge, I'll be honest with you as a parent, is trying to decide when do you step in and grab and when do you stand back and watch. And I think sometimes God wrestles with the same thing. Because I believe that God intervenes in life. I believe that there are times that God steps in a supernatural way and does stuff. Whether it's by nudging somebody else to step into a situation, whether by sometimes it's getting your attention. But there are times that God just lets us make our own decisions because He gave us free will. You know, God's not going to micromanage your life. You know, you kind of think of, this is about the best picture I could find, it's still really goofy. But you've got this girl, and on one side you've got this little like, oh, with a little like halo on her head and the wings, little angel. And then over here, you can't really see it, but she's got these horns coming out of her head. This one's in red, there's flames behind her, that one's got the beautiful blue sky, and the yellow shirt and the bright. And this is really what life comes down to. Not that you've got two people whispering in your ears. But go back to the video of Gollum at the very beginning tonight when we got started. That this is what's going on. Is that over on this side, this represents to me listening to the wisdom of God. Listening to what God says is right and good. What is perfect, as James says. Listening to this. And over on this side, this represents following our own desires and following our own passions. Things that lead us to take sinful action that eventually can lead us to death. Physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is. And so that's the battle of life comes down to what voice are you going to listen to? And that's going to dictate ultimately what happens in our lives. And we're all going to, this is a lifelong struggle. When you hit 40, this doesn't stop. What's being talked about changes, it doesn't stop. When you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80, this doesn't stop. It's a lifelong journey of listening to God, listening to His wisdom, seeking His wisdom, and then following it. Because you're going to have desires that go against God's will for the rest of your life. And the habits that you learn today as teenagers will be the habits that shape how you act as parents and as adults. And if you don't believe me, ask your parents on the way home tonight. Because the habits that you form today about whether or not you listen to God will be the habits that you form and carry into your adult life. And they're going to shape the way that this battle goes on for the rest of your life. And if you think, well, I'm young and I'm having fun and I'm just going to let this voice listen, and then when I grow up, I'll go over to that side, it doesn't work that way. You develop habits now and you're going to struggle the rest of your life with those kind of temptations. That's just the way it works. And so here's the question, and we're right up against time. Here's the question I want you to think about as you go home tonight. I want you to think about, are you going to let your desires rule what you do? Or are you going to, in the words of James, listen to God, listen to His wisdom, let Him speak to you, and let Him shape the decisions you make? Because all that is good and perfect comes from Him. All that is good and perfect. And when we can follow that, then we'll have the kind of life that's full of joy and peace and all the other fruit of the Spirit that we read about. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this book of James. We thank You for the wisdom that was penned by this man just 2,000 years ago. God, we all struggle with desires. It looks different for each of us. It could be a pride issue. It could be a power issue. It could be possessions. Could be more than one of them. And so God, my prayer, whether it's a prayer for a teenager or for a parent tonight, is that we would seek Your wisdom and Your wisdom alone. That as voices in the world cry out to us to pursue different things and make other things important, God, I pray that You would help us have the wisdom that comes from above. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.